Our next guest, haven't been able to see this for a long, long time, but yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is active. The domain name has been resurrected, as it will, as flamesfrom80feet.ca made an appearance the last couple of days. And the man, the myth, the legend, Darren Haynes, joins us right now. Haynesy, what's going on, pal?
Well, we're into July, second half of 2020. Anxious to see what we have in store for us these next 6 months.
Yeah, 2020 at this point can beat it. I mean, I don't know where you are, but it can beat it.
Yeah, it's not going to make the, when they do the Sports Center highlights of the best years, 50 years from now, probably won't fall on that list.
Boy, those Christmas Eve shows into the new year where every sports network is doing their countdowns of the top plays of the year. Not going to be able to do those over 4 days this year. That's for sure. But I joke. I had mentioned it to you, kind of brought back the domain name. You thought maybe I should once again get the brain working and do some writing. You've obviously got stuff outside of your sports writing, but you got back into it. And the headline reads, "Draft Lottery Leaves Flames Fans Conflicted Over Best Path Forward." You also put the poll on Twitter. I guess we'll start here, Darren. Were you surprised that A, replies to your article, or B, results of your poll on Twitter as to what the Flames fans are thinking heading into this best of five play-in round?
I was a little surprised. Well, yeah, the reaction from Draft Lottery Night. So I had sent that poll out because I was genuinely curious. You know, the draft played out in a way that was kind of exciting for this city and some other cities that I didn't think they would have a shot in. And I just thought, oh, let's see where we're at, because there's a lot of excitement about that. I'm like, and I'm not surprised. So I'm a little bit surprised at how it went, but I'm also not surprised at the same time because of the timing of the poll, which was that night. So it was draft lottery was what was on everybody's mind. And you know how it goes in kind of the off season. I know this isn't technically the off season, but it sure feels like it. The last few months is you start kind of dreaming and looking ahead, and you hear all the draft prospect talks, and you start to kind of get a little bit mesmerized and infatuated with some of the star players. So suddenly, Alexis Lafreniere becomes the fact that he could be a Calgary Flame. Certainly, a lot of people are like, "Ooh, hot damn! Like, how do we make that happen?" That's suddenly what I want to happen, and almost to the point where more than 50% said they'd rather Flames miss the playoffs to have that first overall pick. And if the draft lottery had not shaken out that way, then that would have been 0%, right? Like, everybody was all in on playoffs. That's naturally what you would be. But it's funny how much of a game changer that lottery was.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you could end up as a Pittsburgh Penguin. That's how crazy this whole process is. And so that's what it's a 12.5% chance for all the eight teams that don't advance past the 24 team best of five qualifying round, if you will. Those that are not in the Stanley Cup playoffs will have a chance at Alexis Lafreniere. And I do think, boy, it's hard. If this was last season, Darren, do you think the response would be different?
If this was last season, okay. So
in terms of the fact that they're the best in the West going into the playoffs, and I think at that point, if you were to poll Flames fans a year ago, they would say their chances at a cup would probably be dramatically higher than this year.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. No, and I think that's exactly the rationale. Like, that's the rationale of those that kind of switched from the hope they make the playoffs camp to, oh man, we can get first overall. Well, that's way better, because it's been 70 games of inconsistency, and we, you know, it's been a while since we've seen a Flames game. But as you kind of remember how it left off, how it left off was pretty similar to how it had been from the start of October. And it's that inconsistency, a look at who you would be playing, a gauntlet, if you will, with the reseeding. You know, it could be the Blues, then it could be the Avs. Like, there's a tough path there. So it makes sense, and I understand it, and I completely get it. But there are some reasons why you do want to see this group get that other chance. And that was kind of what motivated me to write the piece, is just to kind of shine a light on, well, if they get stuck with making the playoffs, which is so funny to term it that way, but if that's the way it goes, there are there are some things that will come out of that that I think are pretty important, such as kind of evaluating that core group that all along after last year's quick, being ousted so quickly that you kind of wanted to see them get that one chance just that they can kind of put some words into action of what they may have learned from last year. So then that was the premise of it, is just to kind of revisit some of the good side, if you will. It's so funny, again, that you have to make this argument, but the good side of making the playoffs.
Now, I guess just last one on the draft lottery, are you happy with the lottery? Do you like the way that the system works? I know this year they have to get creative with the shutdown because of the pandemic, but I think it's the last 10 years only twice has the worst team pick number one.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. There's you're still getting a good player if you're the worst team, but I'm not a fan of the ability to basically just call your pick by just completely bottoming out and spectacularly like Detroit did. I mean, they were nowhere close to 30th place. They were so far back in 31st in kind of every category, from points to wins, the goal differential. And they end up picking fourth. And so they're still going to get a good player, but I think that deters that strategy, which I don't think you want to see for the health of the league, is have so many teams try to be so bad just to secure a star player like that. So I love the premise of the lottery, and I think it worked out, and I love that it worked out how it did. And, I feel bad for the Detroit Red Wing fan, and I think Detroit if they got first place or first in the lottery, it's not like a team that they've had. It's not like they've had that time and time again. Like Detroit's been a kind of a. And think about it. Did they go 25 years or so without making the playoffs for a while there? So it's a team that's probably worthy of picking first. But they. But the fact that just looking at it in terms of the process and how the logistics work. No, I love the lottery format. I think again, if you're the worst team in the league, you're still going to get a good player. But I don't think you should be guaranteed the best player.
He is Darren Haynes, Flames from 80feet.ca. The purpose for this interview, his latest piece is up right now, debating the other options for the Flames with the results of the draft lottery as they get set to play a best of five for the right to go to the playoffs against the Winnipeg Jets. I do got to ask you, Darren, your thought on the NHL kind of waiting. And it appears that the waiting is maybe paid off because they're not going to go to the U.S. It'll be Edmonton and Toronto as the hub cities for the 24 teams in the return to play tournament.
Yeah, there's still feels a lot of questions still in terms of securing that so-called bubble. It sounds like the fears that eventually kind of worked against Vegas was workers and staff and their freedom to roam. But is that not still going to be the case in these other, like someone's got to be cooking food and cleaning hotel rooms, and like, is everybody going to be locked down in terms of all the staffing of all the different places? Like, there's a lot of questions still that feels like there's still going to be some chances infections will get in. And maybe it's just maybe that number will be dialed back and lower based on how they're going to be set up in Toronto and Edmonton. And I assume, presumably, that's why they made the decision that they did. It's great. It's great for Canada. It's too bad that's the only thing that Canada can win was 1993 is the last Stanley Cup. But hey, we got two hub cities.
Hey, the Cup's going to be handed out on Canadian soil, man. Come on.
It will be, or we can hope anyway. I mean, I think there's still this level of skepticism with all the sports right now, but there's no room for that, right? Well, we've been starved long enough. I'm hoping that we are just flooded with sports, including hockey and baseball and football and all that stuff, and it'll be great. Good decisions. It certainly makes it there was rumblings that Brad Treliving was thinking about maybe holding training camp in the U.S. And well, now this certainly adds a lot of clarity to that. If anything, it might be the opposite. Maybe some American teams come up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for sure. And I think the nice thing, too, for the Flames is the fact that they can get everybody here and then essentially have a 40-minute charter plane ride to Edmonton to get set for the tournament. So really, from a Flames standpoint, could not have worked out better for them, and we'll see what happens going forward. A couple more on the negotiations. It's not very very often do we say that it appears, anyways, that the CBA extension, the negotiations that got around that, yes, long, But for the most part, it appears somewhat painless, which kind of leads me to believe we're still yet to hit some sort of snag. Your thought on how easy it appears, anyways, from afar, that the new CBA has been, to kind of work out, and the fact that the players, no surprise, have really pushed for the Olympics in 2022 and 2026.
Yeah, no, I'm actually, it's funny, it seems like quite a thing to pull off when the focus is so over here, right? Like, you know, meanwhile, they, yeah, like this, it's surprise. I'm pleasantly surprised, because, you know, in Calgary of all cities, you know, that's the city that probably has the biggest scars just from the last year lost to lockout, just because of the way the previous season had gone and how it ended up. So certainly, you know, I think we probably could be forgiven in Calgary to be a little gun shy around when you hear work stoppage and labor discussion and that sort of thing. So if they can get a deal and extension done, that's great, because, that's, you know, in terms of as bad as pandemic sports and covering non-sports and a pandemic instead, you know, labor talks is almost as painful. So I'd rather talk about the product on the ice, and I'm delighted to hear that they're close to an extension that'll work for everybody.
And I know you've also been having some debates with fans on Twitter. Your thoughts as to what the Flames, 28-man roster could look like?
Yeah, you know, kind of revisited that just to see, and who should be in, who should be out. I mean, you know, I think there's some obvious picks. There's some, depending on what the roster, I know initially when I went through it, I think the roster's changed a little bit. I think there's some obvious choices. I mean, the guy, if I was to single out a guy that I'm most intrigued about that could have an impact and maybe even play in this series is that you just hear nothing but good things about Glenn Gauden, about his two-way game, kind of everything he's done in his couple of years of pro. I think that could he be someone that steps into the lineup as soon as the Winnipeg series? I mean, I think it's a fair question. You know, if this is not a time, it's a best of five. You don't have a lot of time for kind of grooming guys and coming up with and kind of being polite to guys. Like, it's going to be who's playing the best, who gives us the best chance to win. And so really curious to see if the training camp, and it's going to be short, and there's not a lot of time to kind of unseed guys, but he's a guy to keep an eye on. And of all of those kind of extra players, he's, you know, certainly packs a lot of intrigue for me. I think, you know, you look at some of the names that have been invited, Adam Ruzicka, that's great for him. I think what Flames fans should take away from that is this is a prospect that, I don't think at one point there was a certainty that he would even sign. Did they want him? Like, does he have the work ethic? He's kind of a middle round pick, fourth round pick, I believe. But the fact that they chose to sign him, he went to Stockton and has had the caliber of a first year at pro as a big guy learning position, or not learning position, but learning pro hockey at a tough position at center. The fact that he's invited to this camp, I don't expect him to play at all, but I think it's a great experience opportunity for him. So that's another intriguing name that I see from some of the names that Brad Treliving mentioned last Thursday at his presser about who to expect. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's fun to be talking hockey again, and some of these guys that will have a chance to come in and make a little bit of an impression. I mean, the defenseman, Mackie, from that will can't even play this year. But again, it's just someone that they want to get kind of into the organization and acclimated so he can make hopefully maybe even step straight into the NHL next year. So it's going to be interesting to see these guys back on the ice. Well, they're back on the ice now, but just to see training camp officially begin and the storylines begin. And then we'll see where it goes, whether it's done in less than 10 days, which... Yeah. You know, will be it would have been a real punch to the gut had the draft lottery not played out how it did. But right now it's kind of a win either way. And I know some people are going to hate that line, but that exactly is what it is for Calgary.
Now, I do got to ask you, because you mentioned it, you know, talking hockey is fun. They only played once this year. It was outdoors. How do you look at the matchup against Winnipeg for the Flames?
Yeah, I haven't, it feels like it's been a long time ago, right? Like, when I think of Flames-Winnipeg playoffs, like, I'm going back 30 years, not this is, it's like, oh God, yeah, they haven't met in a while. What would that look like? And you're right, the one outdoor game early in the season. So the dynamics will change. I mean, I've been big on the Jets. I really like what they've had for a team for a few years now. So it's a tough out for Calgary. It's a great matchup. I think it's super tight. It certainly reeks of a five-game series. And they've got a heck of a goaltender. So, if goaltending in a five-game series, my goodness, it could really turn this thing on its heel. So Calgary, I think, is a little bit more of a question mark with the goaltending. So, you know, if you lean on goaltending as the most important position and the position that could be the series breaker, certainly Winnipeg has that advantage. But that said, if Connor Hellebuck struggles, then that, I think, swings it the other way. So it's going to be a great series, and I look forward to it.
Darren Haynes is our guest. Just a couple more for you, Darren. The first one is on Juuso Välimäki. I think he's a talking point, will be even more so as training camp goes on and we get closer to the best of five first-round play-in against the Jets. You look at what the Flames did the deadline, all those guys would be back, and the Gustafsons and the Forsberts and obviously Hamonic being healthy. So you've got lots of depth on that back end. And, of course, the word out there is if he does not play, he is exempt from the upcoming expansion draft with the new Seattle franchise. But if he plays, of course, he would have to be protected, which the team would likely just protect him anyways. But is that a hot debate for you? Would you be playing Juuso Välimäki, or because of the depth you've acquired already, would you be comfortable sitting him out?
No chance. Like, for me, zero chance he plays against Winnipeg. You've spent assets to bring in guys. You have 8 or 9 NHL quality experienced defensemen ahead of him, and he hasn't played in 15 months or whatever the time count, the time would be there. So no, the bigger argument or discussion would be, so when would it make sense? And for me, you're going further out. I mean, let's go back to 2004. When did Brennan Evans draw into the lineup? Because the D was that decimated that they had to bring in a guy who never played again in the NHL.
Round three, I believe.
Those few shifts, right? So I think that's it. Like, when would they get desperate enough? And so maybe they're in the Western Conference Final and they're down 3 defensemen or 2 defensemen. You know, like, then that's a game changer, because now you're that Stanley Cup is within eyesight. But no way in just trying to get into the playoffs. I mean, that's like playing them right now. If you play them against the Jets, you're basically putting them into the lineup for like game 81. Game 80 of like a regular season. That's essentially what it is. And so given what's on the line and kind of the ripple effect in terms of expansion draft implications, no chance for me. So I would be very, very surprised if he's anywhere near the ice. And I think it would take like a Western Conference Final trip at minimum.
With a ton of injuries. No, I think you're bang on there for sure, and be curious to see just, you know, how involved he is in terms of how far down the depth chart, you know, involved in practice and whatnot. He has been skating, so he is working his way back. And I think next season, I think for a lot of people, you can pencil him right in that top six. But for right now, I'm with you. It kind of makes more sense to just let him sit and gain experience by watching. Before we let you go, I know that you're a big baseball fan, so I got to get your thought on Major League Baseball and their plan to have a 60-game season. Talk about a sprint to the finish. I believe your Nationals last year, my friend, were well below 500 60 games in. So anything can happen in a 60-game baseball season. Are you jacked up?
I am, yeah, absolutely. But nervous that maybe it still doesn't happen. I know, you know, there is, you know, just from what I read coming out of different camps, there's some players that are pretty skeptical. We're already starting to hear about a couple of guys opting out. In fact, speaking of the Nationals, Ryan Zimmerman, Joe Ross, a pitcher and a longtime veteran player, both of those guys have said they're opting out for this season. There's going to be more of those. So it's weird. It's going to be a weird season, but 60 games for baseball is going to be, like, I love baseball. I'm a huge fan, but the extra weight on every single result is going to make it very compelling if they can get it off the ground, and it's going to be different. And you know, like with the empty stadiums and all of that, it's so much is going to be different. But just to see it again, and with such a consolidated, every game matters legitimately schedule where everybody has a chance. Like, this is not, you can, there's been a lot of good teams that have kind of faked their way through 2 months of baseball. And so, you know, anybody legit and anybody would have a shot at it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm just looking forward to, you know, like everything colliding. I'm trying to get all the things checked off my to-do list, my chore list, because I'd like to really sit myself in front of a couch and just watch a lot of sports starting in late July. So fingers crossed that it all comes together as hoped.
Yeah, this whole COVID like couch weight gain thing might come later in this pandemic. Not early for me. Like the weather's been okay, but when there's sports on television 18 of the 24 hours a day, that's probably when you can put on some lbs.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what I'm curious about, and I look at the GM this maybe this week is, you know, okay, so they're having these subsidies. There are going to be games on, like, maybe even in the morning. Like, how weird is this going to be on the players' traditional schedule? Because they can't all play. They're on one ice surface, one main ice surface, I would presume, presumably for the actual game. Mm-hmm. I know they have, like, six rinks in Edmonton, but I'm guessing that it's the main rink that they would use for all the games. And, like, you know, look, if you're going to be playing – you know, at 7, well, there's got to be a game at what, 4, and then a game at 1, maybe a game at 10. Like, it's going to be really interesting. I can't wait to see the schedule and see how they kind of pull this together and see what they have. Do they try and mix it up, or are they just going to commit some teams to playing afternoon/morning hockey games? There's so many questions. And so schedules, both for baseball and hockey, are kind of the next thing I have my eye on for.
Yeah. And I would think in the hockey standpoint, if you're playing a noon game, for example, I think Bill Daly's come out and said, at least the early reading was kind of like a noon, kind of like a 4:30 and an 8 in each city. So if you're looking at that, which means the ones in the East would start at 10 a.m. for Calgary and for the Mountain Time Zone. So you're looking at hockey pretty much from start of your day to the end of it. And, you know, overtime factored in there and whatnot. But I'm thinking, you know, okay, you can play back-to-back games, but there's no travel. That's fine. But you'd have to play in that noon slot kind of both days, wouldn't you? You can't have the, you know, the noon slot one day and a 4 p.m. I guess that would be okay, but going the other way would be awful.
Right. Yeah, so, no, good point. Exactly. You can't do the day game after the night game. No. You know, unless they bend the rules a little bit. But what I think they've always had a kind of a rule of 24, 23 hours after the previous night start.
I think it's 26 hours, I think, is the actual number. So
yeah, that'll
be tough.
Be really fun, interesting, intriguing. Like every turn in this adventure has brought up new things you haven't thought about. Mm-hmm. And anxious to see it played out. I'm pro fan noise. Pipe it in. Like, I think that's been awesome. That what they've done in soccer. I know some purists don't like it, but I'm a big fan of a little bit of atmosphere too. But I know not everyone will agree with that. Anyway, curious to see what the different approaches that they take in, I guess, in NHL would be more just in the hub cities. But, yeah, curious to see what the end product turns out, because certainly without people in the stadiums, the cameras can go. Like, I've been reading some stuff about what the TV coverage could look like. And, yeah, it's going to be fascinating, man. What a year. Crazy.
And like you said off the top of this interview, the crazy part is we're talking about all this and it still might not even happen. So. Exactly. That's what, you know, I think some of us do forget at times. Darren, appreciate your time this morning, man. Thanks for jumping on. Enjoy your weekend. Hope you had a great Canada Day, and we'll talk to you very soon, man.
Yeah, sounds good, bud.